This week on the Draft Preview Edition of Dog Pound Report, we review what the Browns' strategy could be in the first three rounds, break down how Cleveland could gain more draft assets, and Mark Sessler of the NFL Network gives his insight about the Rams-Titan trade that rocked the NFL.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to a pre-draft edition of Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin. He's Nathan Zagura, and he's Super Bowl champion and former Buckeye linebacker Matt Wilhelm. Andrew Gribble will join us. Guys, I can't believe last week we're sitting here, it's snowing outside. Today we're talking about tee times.
What a difference a week makes. It's beautiful here in Cleveland. Let's go.
You playing golf or you coaching your kids today?
Coaching my kids. We're going to be out. Oh, actually, patio work. Oh, you know, that's what we get done on a Sunday before a big week.
Nice little Sunday. Yes. Maybe a trip to Home Depot?
Maybe so.
A little family, man. Yeah. All right, there was a big story this week. We start things off with the 2016 regular season schedule that came out this past Thursday. Here's what Browns head coach Hugh Jackson had to say about it.
They're all great football teams, and we understand that, and it's going to be a challenge, you know, but at the same time, we think we'll be ready for the challenge. It's going to be a tremendous opportunity for us and for our city and for our staff and organization to show what we are, you know, and again, we're looking forward to it, and we know it's going to be 16 fun-filled games.
All right, boys, if I'm looking at this schedule, it comes out, and I'm Hugh Jackson, I am posting it everywhere I can, and I'm putting the word respect all over it, because all the 1 o'clock starts on Sunday. Now, you can get flexed into a game late at the end of the season. It says we have to go out and earn respect.
It definitely does. I think, you know, 5 of the first 7 on the road, a late bye. It doesn't set up well because I think Hugh Jackson, this new regime, wants to make First Energy Stadium and have this young, you know, fruitful team play in front of their fans and really play well in front of their fans. And they don't get that opportunity very early. So the opportunity to gain momentum is a little bit later in the season.
Yeah, you got to finish strong, right? 6 of your last 9 are going to be at home after the bye. Cold weather, they did no favors there. You could add a trip to Miami. Instead, you're going to Buffalo in December. But the Chargers do come to town, and hopefully that's a warm weather team that could struggle late in December. But, man, they got to be the road warriors. Put on the shoulder pads with the spikes. Let's go. 5-7 on the road.
Do players actually look at this? Do players actually say, 1 o'clock games? How come we didn't get any national TV?
Absolutely. I think, you know, as a part of some good teams, really thrived. We all thrived in playing in the limelight, in the spotlight, knowing that everyone else, including America, sitting back watching what we're accomplishing against the likes of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
You got to earn it. It's the bottom line. You got to earn it. When you're
second
in the draft,
right?
You're not going to be playing on a lot of primetime games.
Respect. All right, so the other big story this week was the Los Angeles Rams. They traded up for the number 1 pick, and we talked to Mark Sessler from NFL Network about how this affects the Browns at number 2.
Well, I think it has a huge impact on the Browns because you don't trade up to number 1 if you're the Rams unless you're going after one of the two quarterbacks. And, you know, I was on Twitter trying to figure out which one of these two is it. And in the hours after the trade, people have Wentz, people have Goff. I tend to think that the Rams are into Carson Wentz. And if that's the quarterback that Cleveland wanted, then they're in a fix. If they don't feel the same way about Goff or the quarterback that comes to number 2, you have to rethink what you're going to do at that position. And I really do think Cleveland has a real interest in potentially trading down, stockpiling picks if the quarterback they want isn't there. And that's a bummer for Cleveland because, you know, landing that quarterback with Hugh Jackson as the coach at this point would have been a big win. So you want to find out which quarterback it'll be and if Cleveland still feels good about that guy.
All right, so who will the Rams take at number 1? Mixed opinions from the national pundits this week. This is Adam Schefter from ESPN. He says Rams leaning towards Jared Goff today, but the one reason they made the trade now was to get 2 weeks of debate for their top 2 quarterbacks because both are going to be good. Also, from CBS Sports, Benjamin Albright, quote, Rams source says Wentz is the pick, said decision was made a while ago, said trade haggling took a while. I can't believe, boys, the Rams would walk into this thing not knowing who they want at number 1.
Well, here's what I talked to somebody very close to the Rams, an NFL source, and this is what he said. Les Snead, the GM, he wants Carson Wentz. Jeff Fisher, the head coach, he wants Jared Goff. So they have 2 weeks now. They've got the pick to figure out which way it's going to be.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think you got to look at the Cleveland Browns. As we knew we were in need of a franchise quarterback, we've had the entire offseason to ponder Carson Wentz and Jared Goff to see who we wanted. I think we leaned one way, and now someone jumped in front of us, and they're going to determine what quarterback we take if we take a quarterback at number 2.
One thing that's interesting, Mike Silver, who's very well connected to Hugh Jackson, said he believes this trade is for Jared Goff, and he believes it is for the quarterback that the Browns want, which maybe was giving away a little bit too much information there from Mike Silver, but wouldn't surprise me if Goff Goff was the pick for the Rams and for the Browns.
But what if there was a smokescreen coming out of Berea? That's the greatest part of this. All right, the scenario isn't new for Browns Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Sashi Brown. He has said the Browns were fully prepared for the possibility the Titans would deal the number one pick.
Yeah, so we do, walk through a reasonable amount of scenarios. But you're right, there's a myriad. I mean, you could drive yourself crazy and go in circles endlessly trying to think of all of them. But really, I think you want to talk about the material ones that will impact your decisions and your goals for what you want to get out of the draft. And we've positioned ourselves, I think, or we happen to be in a position where we can accomplish multiple of our goals in this draft, you know, now. And certainly one scenario we thought of was, what if Tennessee trades to another team that comes up for what presumably will be a QB?
All right, Nathan, what happens if the Rams take Wentz?
I would literally run, sprint, get in a motorcycle, get me to the podium as quickly as I possibly can to select Jared Goff, the quarterback out of Cal. And I believe that if Carson Wentz does go first, that will be the pick of the Cleveland Browns.
All right, Matt, it goes the other way. What if they take Goff?
This is where things get a little tricky.
No.
This is where things get a little tricky. If Sashi Brown, Andrew Berry, Hugh Jackson have evaluated both of these quarterbacks and they feel that they are both franchise-caliber quarterbacks, Rams take Goff. We then, of course, would go to the podium and take Carson Wentz. If that is not, in fact, true, do we take best player available? That would be the, you know, Jalen Ramsey. That would be, you know, Joey Bosa. Do we take a running back at Ezekiel Elliott? Or do we trade back and have the Niners or Eagles at 7 and 8 who have interest in quarterback moving up to number 2 and we gain those additional picks?
All right, I'm glad you brought up the trade part of this because we go back to our conversation with Mark Sessler from NFL Network to get his possibility of the Browns trading down from number 2.
So if it's not a quarterback for some reason, I really see Cleveland trying to get out of this number 2 pick, going down inside the top 10 potentially to get someone that they believe can help. The good thing if you're Cleveland is you need help all over the field on both sides of the ball. Maybe Miles Jack from UCLA would be good. Jalen Ramsey is an excellent opportunity. The secondary needs help. What people have sort of said about this draft is that if you get outside of the top 10, then the talent in terms of picking a premier player falls off. So some targets could be Philadelphia and San Francisco. Those are two potential teams that want to move up to get a quarterback at number 2. And you'd still have excellent defensive talent there. You know, they talk about this draft being very deep along the defensive line. There's offensive linemen as well. But really, for Cleveland, I if it's not a quarterback, I think they're going to shop that pick.
All right. Who do you want to shop that pick to? And maybe a little bit, what's the value of it?
Well, I want to go with the San Francisco 49ers personally. I think for the Browns, it is quarterback or trade back at 2. They have that fractured relationship with Colin Kaepernick. You can't try to get rid of a quarterback and then say, no, we really want
you.
Like
you now.
Chip
yeah.
Kelly, I think, is going to want to get his guy, and we'll see who's there at number 2. But I think it's quarterback or trade back, and Philly doesn't have that second-round pick this year, so that makes them a little less beautiful as far as I see it as a trade partner.
The one other little X factor that I have in the game is, who knows what Jerry Jones is going to do it for? The Cowboys, you know, need the heir apparent to Tony Romo, who's got 2 to 4 years of probably playing in his prime. So can they, who've said they don't want a quarterback, jump back into the game, the Browns don't drop too far and still get a quality pick at number 4?
One interesting thing is that Goff and Wentz have both completed workouts for other teams since this trade went down. So you would think if the Rams had their guy, they'd say, no, you're not working out for anybody. And I know Goff went with the Cowboys and Jerry Jones was very impressed.
Real quick, are you buying Bosa to Dallas at all? Is that
not so much. Elliott might be the better play as a Buckeye to Dallas, but I think Bosa to the Ravens is very scary, of course, in the AFC North.
What do you think?
I don't mind that. I don't know that he fits that defense. We'll see. I think he's a better fit in Dallas in the 4-3.
All right, we still got tons more to come here. Plenty more on the Dog Pound Report. Stick around, including this.
Coming up on Dog Pound Report, how will the current Browns roster affect the draft, and what should the Browns do to maximize their first 3 selections?
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Of course, we are here with Matt Wilhelm, who joins us every week. The hair is looking really good
this week.
Thank
you.
Tall, strong.
I need a cut, but it's strong for today.
It looks good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Nathan Zagura is the opposite kind of hair. I'm kind of in the middle of the two. All right, let's take a look at the current Browns roster heading into the draft. In fact, Sashi Brown talked about building the team earlier this week.
We're really excited about bringing a nucleus of young players together. I think this is a league where you've seen when you get the right people in place. We've added some pretty dynamic folks to our locker room already. The most important thing I think we've done and started to do, we've got a lot more work here, but we're off to a great start, is change our perspective on who we are and what we can accomplish on Sundays. And Hughes led that. We'll get 10 more guys, next Thursday, draft night, to come into the locker room and further push that winning mindset forward. So really excited about having a young nucleus of talent to build around for a long period of time, mixed in with some veterans that are still here and really able to contribute to winning on Sundays.
All right, we're kind of past free agency here. Who are we? He said it. Who are we?
All right, let's look at the offense. Quarterback position, Josh McCown, RG3. Those are going to be your top two competitors there for now. We'll see what happens after the draft. Along the offensive line, Joe Thomas, left tackle. Joel Bitonio, left guard. Center, likely Cam Irving. Right guard, John Greco. And then I think Alvin Bailey, Austin Pastore compete right now at right tackle. Your tight end is, of course, Big Play Gare. Your wide receiver, or your running backs, I'm sorry, Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell. And then you get to wide receiver. And you're starting three, basically, in the National Football League. And right now your top three receivers are probably Brian Hartline, Andrew Hawkins, and Taylor Gabriel. And you've got Terrell Pryor there, Marlon Moore primarily special teams, or Darius Jennings, undrafted free agent. So when you look at that and you say to yourself, we need to compete in a division where everybody can put points on the board, wide receiver is a massive hole for this team right now.
All right, who are we on defense? And let's go right to linebackers with you, because that's your special forte.
Sure, absolutely. I think, you know, the addition of DeMario Davis is a huge upgrade. We get younger at the position, a guy that, as we mentioned last week, played for the Jets, played in a very productive physical defense there with the Jets, both with Rex Ryan and Todd Bowles. You look at Christian Kirksey. He's a guy in Ray Horton's defense who's got to step up and is probably not going to share time with any other linebacker as he has since he entered the NFL with Craig Robertson. So, I mean, along the defensive line, you got John Hughes under contract. Danny Shelton should have a better second year in the National Football League. Dez Bryant, Xavier Cooper in the mix. And I think outside linebacker is where things get a little tricky. Paul Kruger, Barkevious Mingo, as well as Nate Orchard, who was drafted last year, should all be players as outside linebacker. It's still definitely a need for us in the draft.
All right, let's do it this way. Let's kind of go backwards on this thing. And let's go through every room, because I think fans look at this, and you guys have the unique perspective of being able to look into it. We talk about the quarterback room all of the time. What is that quarterback room going to look like?
I think it really depends on how the draft goes. I think if the Browns get their franchise quarterback, I think you're probably going to see that guy along with RG3 and then either Austin Davis, Connor Shaw, or another drafted quarterback to come in for that third quarterback spot. And I think in that scenario, Josh McCown would move on. If you don't get a quarterback early that's a franchise quarterback, perhaps Josh and RG3 are your top guys there in that quarterback room.
Right. And as we stay on the offensive side of the ball, at wide receiver, where do you think they're looking at drafting? Because we're not talking about wide receivers. We've spent a long time talking about trying to get big play guys at wide receiver. Where are we at wide receiver?
We're the worst in the league. I think that there's no question that is the worst wide receiver room in the National Football League, and it's something that needs to be addressed. It should have been addressed years ago with the latest on Josh Gordon. You can't count on him, so you're going in with the guys that I mentioned earlier who are solid, but you need to get some young, explosive talent. You have two basically aging veterans atop your depth chart, and you have a guy who averaged nearly 18 yards a catch as a rookie in Taylor Gabriel, down under 10 last year, was kind of neutralized, an undrafted free agent. We need some prime, pedigreed talent to put points on the board.
Defensive line-wise, there's a switch side to the other side of the ball.
Sure.
We got some names we know there on
we
the defensive line. And if there's one spot where maybe you can feel okay about, it's defensive line. Where are we going to grow in this thing? Who stays, who goes, and where are we going with this?
I think the biggest difference for the defensive line is going to be scheme. You know, last year's scheme, they were allowed to do almost and play techniques, not essentially gaps. And I think Ray Horton's scheme is going to be the biggest difference. It's going to allow Danny Shelton to be the guy that owns the middle. It's going to play to, you know, Desmond Bryant's strengths. I think John Hughes, the contract he signed, he's going to be excited to be more of a full-time starter. And Xavier Cooper, the get-off that we heard so much about prior to the draft, we're going to get to see that a lot more. But I still believe that via draft, you know, adding depth, allowing these guys to be disruptive, to get into the backfield, tackles for loss, and putting pressure on the quarterback is huge for this defense.
And this draft is maybe the deepest ever with interior defensive linemen. So I could see the Browns go for a three technique, maybe in the third round. That typically would have been a first round pick, a guy like Willie Henry out of Michigan.
Are you drafting a linebacker, yes or no?
If I draft anywhere, it's going to be a pass rusher, so it'd be an outside linebacker and maybe an inside linebacker late in the draft to add him to the mix and build behind DeMario Davis and Christian Kirksey.
Okay, you've been inside now. You've gone in all those rooms we talk about all year long. All right, we got a lot more coming up on Dog Pound Report.
Next on Dog Pound Report, which position will win that first pick spot? And we answer more burning questions.
You're watching Dog Pound Report on News Channel 5. Joining us now, our good buddy Andrew Gribble, the Mad Scribble, is here on ClevelandBrowns.com. Gribble and Nathan are going to debate some topics surrounding the draft. We're going to start off with a scenario for the Browns. What should they do with their first three picks? Just tell me positionally, what should they do?
Well, for me, it's best player available, and I believe that's going to be a safety-slash-defensive back with Jalen Ramsey of Florida State. That kind of goes against the whole quarterback notion, but this guy's a great player. Second round, I'm looking at a pass rusher because you guys talked about last segment. There's some outside linebackers there, but you need to beef up that pass rushing unit, give Paul Kruger some help. Third round, I'm looking at the wide receiver position, but if for some reason you're not going Jalen Ramsey, I'm looking at safety as well because that defensive backfield needs a lot of help as well.
I thought your head was going to explode there for a second with the quarterback situation, so I'll give you a chance to debate. Just give me philosophically what they should do with those first three picks.
I just look at this team and I say, what are the biggest weaknesses? What do they need to address to get competitive? Number one, it's getting a franchise quarterback, and number two, it's getting that quarterback some weapons. Our wide receiver room not where it needs to be, so as we get into it, you'll see I'm going to go offense heavy, much to the delight of Hugh Jackson.
All right, so Gribbs, take me through your three guys again, because I want to talk about every one of these guys that you're saying these are the guys they should take.
Well, starting with Jalen Ramsey, I mean, this is a guy, Gene Dekeroff, the legendary Florida State announcer, was on Cleveland Browns Daily a month ago. He's talking about him as if he's a mix of Patrick Peterson, Ed Reed, all of the great kind of safety slash defensive backs. I think on the Cleveland Browns, you plug him in at safety, use him as a kind of a hybrid role. He's just one of those guys that most agree, if you're just looking at pure players, best player available, perhaps, I know this is a dangerous term, surest thing in the NFL draft, but I believe defensive backfield just such a huge need, and I'm playing the odds where if the Rams are taking the QB that the Browns may have wanted, 50-50 odds, I'm preparing for them to take the quarterback that the Browns may want. That's why you look in the direction of Jalen Ramsey.
All right, what do you
I just think in many of the great 3-4 defenses in the history of the National Football League, it's about the front seven, getting to the quarterback. That's where the pressure is. So I don't think you take a defensive back that early in this draft. And by the way, we need a quarterback, Gribbs. RG3, low risk, high reward, great swing at the plate, but we need a quarterback. If we think those two guys are franchise quarterbacks, whoever's left, you take them. And then let's say in your scenario, you take Jalen Ramsey or you take the best player available. So you've got RG3 here. Give him a chance. You've got to give him somebody to throw the ball to. So I'm going quarterback, and then I'm coming back at number 32 with the receiver, and then I'm coming back at 65 with the receiver.
Gribbs, explain to him why they don't need a quarterback at 2, especially if the quarterback they think is going to be gone at 1. Tell him why.
Because I know you need a quarterback in this draft, obviously, at some point in the draft. But if you, I'm just not of the belief that you can be in love with both guys. So I'm preparing as if the guy that the Browns wanted is off the board, because you got to prepare for the worst in this draft scenario. So I think it can set a franchise more back if you just draft a quarterback and you get the wrong guy. It can put you behind the eight ball right away.
Well, listen, so then in that case, you trade back. There is not one defensive player in this draft that's going to change this franchise. We need as many assets as possible. So maybe we trade back so we can get the top receiver on the board to help out RG3, who's Josh Doctson, in my opinion. Then you could take one at 32 as well, Sterling Shepard out of Oklahoma. I think a technician, a faster Jarvis Landry, I think has an opportunity to be a very good player. And then I don't even care. I'd still come back at 65 with my guy, Leonte Carew from Rutgers. Receivers, baby.
Eat your words here for a second. You said we have the worst wide receiving room in the NFL. Why wouldn't you draft a wide receiver?
Where at number 2? Yeah, there isn't a guy, there isn't a Sammy Watkins, there isn't a Julio Jones in this draft. So if you wanted to do that and take a receiver with your first pick, you're moving down in the first round, getting assets so that you can use some on offense and some as defense, to your point. I mean, this defense still needs help. I think the scheme and the coaching will be beneficial, but at the end of the day, it's about a franchise quarterback and getting him weapons. We got to outscore Ben Roethlisberger and the Bengals and the Ravens if we want to win this division.
I think we agree in principle, but I believe that we're maybe looking at the draft boards differently. When I get to 32, I'm not seeing the value there for the wide receivers that I think are going to be there. I see the value in pass rushers. A guy like Kamale Correa of Boise State, he's kind of the prototypical 3-4 end. He's got room to develop, room to grow, but a guy that people are really high on after his sophomore year, put up some big numbers. I think he got team's attention. The numbers went down a little bit as a junior, but a definite big athlete. Another potential pass rusher at that spot, Noah Spence, the former Ohio State defensive end, went to Eastern Kentucky after some off-the-field issues, but many believe he is the best pure pass rusher in this draft, but is falling because of off-the-field
issues.
Gribbs,
quickly, give me a wide receiver. Give me the wide receiver you would want.
Well, that's why I see the value in the third round. I'm looking at a Colorado State Rashard Higgins, potentially a Braxton Miller out of Ohio State. You know, maybe even a Farrell Cooper of South Carolina. There's a lot of playmakers that can be available in the third round that I think are getting more bang for the buck there.
You want them in
there? Get them.
Gribbs, thank
multiple.
You very much. We will read you every day at ClevelandBrowns.com. Thanks.
Sounds great.
Always appreciate it. All right, more to come on Dog Pound Report, including what you wanted to have us answer.
After the break, your questions are answered about the 2016 NFL Draft.
And welcome back to Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin. He's Nathan Zagura. Time now to answer a couple of your Twitter questions using the hashtag DPR. Question number one, it comes from Brett Sullenberger. He says, what would it take from potential suitors to buy the number two pick? What would it take?
Well, I think it's going to take at least a combination of this year's first, a future first. Depends where somebody's coming from, too, by the way. Let's say that Tennessee wants to come back to number two. That's going to be a different price point from 15 to 2 than it would be, say, the 49ers from 7 to 2. But you're going to need to get their first this year, their first next year, probably some multiple twos, because it's different than the trade you made for Sammy Watkins, where he swapped ones, he picked up a couple extra mid-round picks, because this is a two-quarterback draft. The first quarterback is going to be gone. So anybody else who thought that second quarterback that's left is a franchise quarterback is going to have to pay because they know they're not getting out of that number two spot.
What are the odds of it not? What if somebody wants to come up to not draft a quarterback? Is that a possibility? Because Tunsil was there, and everyone thought that that's what Tennessee was going to do. And so then the value of the two became who's the quarterback the Browns might not take, or if they didn't want to take a quarterback?
The only team I could see doing that would be Tennessee. Because they can say, we got this haul, we're going to keep a piece of it, we're going to get the guy that we wanted, and come back to number two. So they'd have to give some of the twos and the future first that they got from the Rams or their own first the following season if they wanted to make that kind of a move.
All right, second question at hashtag AskDPR. This is from J.C. O'Connor. Jalen Smith post-assessment draft value.
That depends on the medicals. What does your team think about it? We saw with Ifo, they thought it was worth the risk in the seventh round, didn't end up working out. They've moved on from him at cornerback. So it depends on that. This is the way that I would look at it. If you believe Jalen Smith has a 50% chance of recovering, he's worthwhile in the second, third, fourth round, right? Look at what is the expected success rate of a pick in that round. You know that if he recovers, he's going to be good. So what is his percentage chance of recovery? If it exceeds the percentage chance of success in that round, I say pull the trigger.
All right, Nathan, thank you very much. Looking forward to listening on the radio all week.
Always a pleasure.
What a blast. Yeah. All right, go out and enjoy. Go hit him straight today, by the way.
Going to. Long and straight.
That'll do it for Dog Pound Report. We'll see you next Sunday morning. Browns coverage starts at 11 right here on News Channel 5. Have a great day, everybody.